From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor faces off against her critics today as the Senate Judiciary Committee continues hearings on her nomination to the High Court. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
Republicans went on the attack yesterday in their opening statements, focusing particularly on Sotomayor's statement in speeches that a wise Latina judge might in some cases reach a better conclusion than a white male judge, Senate Republican Whip John Kyle.
From what she has said, she appears to believe that her role is not constrained to objectively decide who wins based on the weight of the law, but rather who, in her personal opinion, should win.
But Republican Lindsey Graham acknowledged that while he's deeply troubled by the wise Latina remark, it isn't enough to defeat Sotomayor.
Unless you have a complete meltdown, you're going to get confirmed.
Yesterday's hearing was almost entirely scripted. Today, the real work begins with senators each having a half hour to question the nominee. Her job is to avoid a meltdown. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
NASA will try again tomorrow to launch Space Shuttle Endeavour. Yesterday's launch attempt was scrubbed due to lightning near the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. It was the fifth launch postponement for Endeavour. Pat Duggins of member station WMFE reports.
NASA launch director Pete Nikolenko broke the news of a fifth launch scrub to Endeavour Commander Mark Polansky.
The vehicle and our teams were ready, but the weather has just bitten us again with lightning.
We understand, Pete, that's the nature of our business, and like I said before, when the time is right, we'll be here, we'll be ready.
But NASA says it won't try until Wednesday. Technicians need the extra time to replace a loose protective cover on one of Endeavour's jet thrusters. The concern is that rainwater might fill the nozzle, freeze in the cold conditions of space, and clog the thruster. NASA also hopes the weather on Wednesday will be an improvement over the last few days. For NPR News, I'm Pat Duggins at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
President Barack Obama has told labor unions that he remains committed to passage of a bill that would make it easier to form unions. He did not offer any timeline. The president made the comments at a White House meeting yesterday with top union officials who reassured the president they're united on health care and labor reforms. The Employee Free Choice Act has been stalled for months as lawmakers work out a compromise that can satisfy several wavering Democrats. The president met with a group that includes two big labor formations, federations, AFL-CIO and Change to Win, along with leaders from 11 major unions representing 16 million workers. Union leaders also told the president they want a health care plan that requires employer participation. Oil prices rose above $60 a barrel in Asia today. Benchmark crude for August delivery was up by 69 cents to $60.38 a barrel. This is NPR News. There's another arrest in that federal prosecution in Utah aimed at a black market in ancient American Indian artifacts, but this time the charges do not involve theft or trafficking of artifacts. From Salt Lake City, NPR's Howard Berkus explains.
Federal prosecutors filed a criminal complaint against a man from Blanding, Utah, for allegedly threatening retaliation against the undercover artifacts dealer who helped federal agents make their case. 25 people were charged with artifacts theft and trafficking after a 2-year federal sting. Most were from Blanding. Two suspects have since committed suicide, including Blanding Dr. James Redd. The criminal complaint says Charles Denton Armstrong identified himself as a former patient of Dr. Redd's and planned to capture the undercover dealer, tie him to a tree, and beat him with a baseball bat. The documents say Armstrong had the name of the undercover dealer in his possession. Conviction carries a possible jail term of up to 20 years in prison. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Salt Lake City.
Southwest Airlines is inspecting nearly 200 of its aircraft after a hole in the fuselage of one of its planes forced an emergency landing in West Virginia. An airport spokesman in Charleston, West Virginia, Brian Belcher, says passengers on the 737 aircraft could see the outside through the 1-foot by 1-foot hole in the rear of the plane. The cabin lost pressure, but no one was injured. The plane, which originated in Nashville and was headed to Baltimore, landed safely in Charleston last evening. It is not clear what caused the damage. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News, in Washington.